Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you all hear me pretty well?
Yeah.
All right. I'm glad to see that so many have braved the weather this morning. I wasn't sure if I was going to be brave enough, but I made it here. And Pastor John has been really graceful, allowing me to kind of sneak into his sermon series that he's been creating. But I love the opportunity to preach. Just to tell you a little bit about myself. My name's Thomas Higgins. Me and my wife and our son have been going here since last spring. But previously I was a pastor in Southern Illinois for about 3 years, and right now I'm going back to school for nursing as kind of a second career to support my first career. And so that's the plan anyway. And I'm about done with school. I've got this last semester to go. So anyway, that's me. We're picking up the sermon series here with the God of Re. And today, this week, we're going to be talking about the God who reveals. Just to recap so far, in previous weeks, we've had the God who renews and remembers. That was the first week. Then we went to the God who refuses. And then we had the God who refills. The God who rebuilds and repairs. And last week it was the God who restores. And so now we're getting into the God who reveals. The God who reveals. I know what some of you are thinking. Maybe not all of you, but I think some people in this room, you're thinking to yourself, you're saying to yourself, yes, this is the week that I have been waiting for. I mean, I've enjoyed the other weeks. I've enjoyed the renewing, and I've enjoyed the refilling. And I mean, who doesn't like some rebuilding and repairing and some restoring? Those are great, but man, I need God to reveal some things to me, right? Does anyone feel like maybe life is a little hazy? A little, things aren't clear? You know, I'm just imagining this. I'm imagining, okay, let's give it a shot. I'm thinking some of you are here. God, I need you to reveal to me your will for my life. Right? Oh, God, I 5 years ago, God, 5 years ago, I had this 5-year plan. And I had it all worked out, and well, you remember God because I told you, you know? And man, I still trust you. I still following you, Lord. I'm not where I thought I would be. I thought I would be somewhere different. I thought I would be doing something different. And you know, I still trust you, God. Maybe if you just let me peek at the plan, just, you know, give me a little sneak peek. And then I'll be all right. I just need you to reveal just a little bit, you know, or maybe, you know, God, where do you want me to serve at? Or what job do you want me to have? Or who do you want me to marry, God? Or why did you let me marry this person, God? I just need you to reveal a few things in my life. And then everything will be okay. I'll be good. I'll be back where I need to be. Is this landing with anyone this morning? Is anyone maybe a little dissatisfied, thinking that if God would just reveal a little bit, everything would be okay? Well, I don't want to dismiss any of those desires this morning. We've all had them. They're good. They're good things to want to know. It's okay to want to know. It's okay to ask God for these things. But I'm going to suggest to you that maybe this God of Re, the God who reveals, maybe he's got more to reveal to us than we ever thought to ask him about. Maybe we'd be surprised at just how much God has to reveal to us. So this morning, we're going to be getting into some scripture. We're going to be getting into the book of Ezekiel. It's in the Old Testament. Ezekiel is considered a prophet. It's a book of the prophet Ezekiel. He's called a major prophet. It doesn't really mean that he's more important than the other prophets. It just means that his book's a little bit longer. I want to say something about prophets, though, because this word's been kind of hijacked, and I think in common understanding, you know, a prophet's someone who knows the future, which is kind of what we were asking God for a few moments ago. That a prophet is someone who knows the future, but in the Bible, it doesn't really work like that. The books of the prophets are not really mostly about predicting the future. It's not about foretelling, it's about forthtelling, which may seem like just a play on words, but it's really not. Forthtelling is about sharing God's truth. So as a prophet, you are someone who is sharing God's truth with nations and with individuals. So anyway, that's what a prophet is. And if that's what a prophet is, then all of us are really prophets, because who here shouldn't be sharing God's truth with others? So I'm going to give you a little background here on the book of Ezekiel. And that's kind of a lie. It's not a little background. It's like the whole book. But I need to do this to go where I'm wanting to go. So Pastor John has spoken weeks past about the exile, Israel's exile in the land of Babylon. And this is really, Ezekiel is right smack in the middle of this exile. So to understand the exile, there were actually two attacks by this foreign power called Babylon. The first attack was just an absolutely humiliating defeat for Israel. Its armies were decimated. Babylon claimed political lordship over Israel. The king of Babylon deposed the king of Israel and installed a king of his choosing, kind of as a puppet king. And, you know, it was not good, but it wasn't all bad. Jerusalem was spared, the city. Its walls were spared, the temple was spared. But just so things were clear, just so everyone knew who was really in charge, Babylon wanted to make a point. So the king of Babylon decided to take the best and the brightest from Jerusalem. The most educated, the leaders, he would take those people, and Ezekiel was one of these prisoners. They'd take them and he took them back to Babylon as prisoners. So Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel opens up, and Ezekiel's already in exile. He's in Babylon, and things are not great for Ezekiel, because Ezekiel, back in Israel, he was a priest in training. He was learning how to become a priest so he could administer the sacrifices of the temple. And it was his 30th birthday, as the book opens up, which is the same year he would have become a priest. So this is bitter. Things are not the way that Ezekiel imagined them. His 5-year plan is not working out. He is a prisoner in a foreign land, far away from God's temple. But here, in a foreign land, sitting beside the bank of a river, God appears to Ezekiel. And he appears to him in a fantastic and glorious way, in a storm cloud, coming with all his glory on the throne. Kind of like Moses on Mount Sinai, or kind of like God in his temple above the Ark of the Covenant. I mean, this is something that you just don't see every day. God coming in all of his glory, and he shows up and he commissions Ezekiel. He says, I want you to be a prophet for me. I need you to go and speak to the people of Israel words of judgment and words of warning. I want you to accuse Israel of violating their covenant relationship with me. They've been worshiping other gods, and because of this, violence and bloodshed and All kinds of injustice has filled the land. I need you to go warn them and tell them if they don't stop doing this, something even worse is going to happen to them. Oh, and by the way, just so you know, they're not going to listen to you because their hearts are hard, but I want you to go tell them anyway. How would you like that job? This is a tough road for Ezekiel to haul here, but so Ezekiel, he goes and he delivers the words of judgment. I mean, if you start reading those first 20 chapters of Ezekiel, he lays it on thick. He accuses them of being unfaithful to God. They have been worshiping foreign gods, participating in all of these detestable practices. He lets them have it, and he warns them what's going to happen. Look, Jerusalem's going to be destroyed. The temple's going to be destroyed. People are going to die. It's going to be awful. Stop. Turn from your ways. And the book of Ezekiel is maybe even the most harsh against Israel's leaders. The leaders don't get no free pass. They are perhaps more at fault than even the people. Hear this. This is from Ezekiel. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Woe to the shepherds of Israel who only take care of themselves. Should not shepherds take care of the flock? You eat the curds, clothe yourselves with the wool, and slaughter the choice animals, but you do not take care of the flock. You have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick or bound up the injured. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. You have ruled them harshly and brutally. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And when they were scattered, they became food for all the wild animals. My sheep wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them. And not only does Ezekiel lay judgment at the feet of Israel and its leaders, Ezekiel has something to say to the nations around Israel too. I mean, Edom and Philistia, Moab, Egypt and Tyre, he has something to say to all of these nations. He says that they have become so puffed up with themselves that they view themselves as gods. They believe that they can do whatever they want, and God will never hold them to account. There's a final plea in chapter 33 of Ezekiel. And this is, I think, where God's heart is really starting to come out. It's not just judgment. It's not just anger and wrath. It is heartbreak. God doesn't want this to happen. Hear this. Son of man, say to the house of Israel, this is what you are saying. Our offenses and our sins weigh us down, and we are wasting away because of them. How then can we live? Say to them, as surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn from their ways and live. Turn, turn from your evil ways. Why will you die, O house of Israel? But the words of judgment and warning, they go unheeded. Ezekiel's not listened to, he's mocked and he's laughed at. Israel refuses to repent. They refuse to turn from their ways. So something worse happened. The foolish king of Israel at the time, his name is Zedekiah, he decided that it would be a good idea to make a new alliance with Egypt, essentially stabbing Babylon in the back and saying, we don't need you anymore. We've got Egypt, and Egypt's going to protect us. This doesn't play very well with the king of Babylon. He comes back, and there's no restraint this time. The second attack on Jerusalem is complete. The armies are annihilated. The walls are breached. They are torn down. And the temple of God, the very dwelling place of God, is burned to its foundations. And everyone that can walk, everyone that can move is taken away to Babylon, leaving just the old and the sick and the injured behind. This is the most catastrophic thing that has ever happened to Israel. It is horrific. And this wasn't just a physical crisis or a political crisis. This was a spiritual one. Israel had to ask themselves, maybe this is it. Maybe we've put the straw that broke the camel's back, and God is, he's done with us. Maybe God's done with us. Maybe we're on our own now. Well, God doesn't abandon Israel. In fact, he begins using his same prophet, Ezekiel, the one who spoke words of judgment and warning. He begins using him to speak words of encouragement and words of hope. But there's still a problem here, a problem that the exile didn't fix, and the problem is Israel still has hard hearts, hard, rock-hard hearts. But God has a plan for that. One of the scriptures we're going to be reading, I think we're going to put it up on the screen, is from Ezekiel chapter 36. Listen to this. Listen to the absolute faithfulness of God in the face of rebellion, in the face of people who maybe don't even want his help. Listen to this. Starting at verse 22, "Therefore say to the house of Israel, this is what the sovereign Lord says. It is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am going to do these things, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you have gone. I will show the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, the name you have profaned among them. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the sovereign Lord, when I show myself holy through you before their eyes. For I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. You will live in the land I gave your forefathers. You will be my people, and I will be your God." God is dealing with the issue of the heart. He says, your hard hearts are not faithful or trustworthy. They cannot keep my covenant. They are unable to do that. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep not only my side of the covenant. I'm going to keep up your side too. I'm going to be faithful for the both of us. And just so there's not any confusion about what God is planning to give us, Ezekiel gets a new vision from God. And this is the next scripture. This is going to be Ezekiel chapter 37. "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' I said, 'O sovereign Lord, you alone know.' And he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones: I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. And he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore I prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, O my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live. And I will settle you in your own land. And then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it. Hear this now. Listen to the words of Ezekiel. Israel is like a valley filled with bones. Israel is like a mass grave. This is the state that the world has left Israel in. The kingdoms of the world, the idols of this world, the false gods of this world, they have left Israel dry and lifeless. But God says, no. He says, I'm not going to leave you in that grave. Even though that grave is of your own making, even though I warned you and pleaded with you not to go down this road because I knew where it would end, I'm not going to leave you in that grave. I'm going to bring you up out of it. And I'm going to put my spirit in you. And you're going to live. This is the God of Re. This is the God who reveals. And what does he reveal? Let's be specific here. I think there's two things, and they're really important. The first thing is God reveals his heart. His heart. Everything that is has come from God. Out of his heart, out of his love, he spoke into existence the heavens and the earth. A passion so deep, a love so unconditional that it made the planets and forged the stars. The same kind of love that chases after a rebellious people. That pleads with them, don't do this. I know it seems like freedom, it seems like this will bring you happiness and peace and joy, but it will lead only to death. Don't go there. God is revealing his heart. And the second thing he reveals, and this is just as important, it goes right along with the heart part, is God reveals his power. His breath is life. Everything that lives, it lives because God gives it breath. It is the only power there is. And God gives this power. He breathes this power. He breathes his spirit. And wherever His Spirit goes, there is life. And wherever it departs, there is the absence of life. Hear this today. This God who reveals His heart, who reveals His power, and understand that if we get these things, if we can receive these revelations, then I want to believe that all the other revelations we think we need will fall right into place. God loves you unconditionally, not for your sake, but because that's who He is. And God has the power to pull you out of any grave. No matter where you are, no matter what has happened, God has the ability to give you life again. All you have to do is receive it. Let's pray, and then I'm going to be done here. Lord, we just ask that Your Spirit would come to us in a fresh way today. That You would come and speak life to us again. No matter where we are, no matter where we have been, no matter where we think we're going, God, I pray that You would come and breathe life into us again. Reveal to us Your heart and reveal to us the possibilities of the power of Your Spirit in our lives. And use us, God, to reveal You to the world. We love You, God. Help us love You better. In Your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Fantastic. Thank you, Thomas, for bringing us the word today, talking to us about the God of revealing. As we get ready for this last song, if you could stand with us if you're able. Yep. Get your lungs ready. Yep, get all stretched. Get those rib cages out. Stay the same through the ages. Does anybody have any announcements for Pastor John?
Thanks so much for coming, everyone. I think that you probably could have stayed home today. You had good reason to stay home with the snow and everything, but thank you so much for coming out.
Oh, absolutely.
I think this is cutting in and out, isn't it?
There you go. Announcement, Mike.
Switching over to the announcement, Mike.
There we go.
All right. Have a couple of announcements for us this morning. And number one, there you have in your bulletin a sheet that represents the work of the nominating committee. You've had a chance to look at that. Our elections will be next Sunday. What I need, if you're comfortable with that work of the nominating committee, I'd like to entertain a motion to accept the work of the nominating committee. Then the names on that sheet will become the ballot, okay? So if you would like to so move, I would entertain that motion. Unless you have questions, would like me to answer. All right. Anybody?
I make a motion to accept.
Okay. Second? All right. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? All right. Motion carries. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Make sure you're reading your bulletins. We have a membership class at John and Jeanette's house the last Saturday of the 24th of February. And we have a Pathways to Faith and Action meeting coming up. That's the 25th. Thank you for doing your hand signals for me. Appreciate that. I left my sheet down there. And didn't you appreciate Thomas's message
Absolutely.
This morning?
Woo!
Man, I'm so glad you came to church today. I even gave him an out. I said, hey, brother. I said, your in-laws started out and deemed it that it wasn't safe, so and they turned around and went back home. I gave him the option. I'm so glad he came to church today. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for your message.
Yep.
And for those of you who have been watching us online, thank you so much for joining us. We may well have had more online than we had here in the seats this morning. Very possible. Thank you so much for being with us today. And Jeanette, are there any other announcements that I need to make that I haven't made so far? Oh, yes. We do need to help. If you could help us turn the fourth row of chairs around and the second row, or the last two rows, and put them back there and bring the tables out for our feeding hunger, feeding wellness. I'll get that. Would you believe that over 750 meals have been served so
Fantastic.
Far? Praise the Lord. We
yes,
just give God
the
glory for that. Praise the Lord. And thank you so much for your help, your volunteers,
yes.
and have been just pitching in and doing such a wonderful job. And Jeanette's looking, and I'm just going to
stall for a moment.
We're all good. All right. Fantastic. Thanks for covering for me.
And for the doxology, give us an F. You want to sing with us, John? Ready?
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.